How many of you know he's greater? Amen? Are we just saying that or do we believe it? He is greater. Lord, you are greater. 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 We thank you for it. Give you praise and honor in this place. Amen. Well, shake hands with somebody else and you can be seated. So glad you're here tonight. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Brother Dan and all of his teams do such a great job here at Rhema Bible Church. Glory to God. Amen. You know, sometimes you take things for granted, but if you travel sometimes into some other churches and you appreciate what you have here so much. And so I'm not saying anything bad about any other church. I'm just saying we appreciate what we have here so much. Glory to God. Well, if you got your Bible with you, got your device there, amen. Do something. Hold it up. Hold it up there. Just hold it up there. Just shake it real low. Tell the devil. Just make the devil mad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know what? The devil does not want you to know what's in there. He doesn't care if you carry it around. He doesn't care if you display it real pretty at home, you know. Get you a real big one. Display it. Just don't read it. And if you read it, don't believe it. And if you believe it, don't act on it. He doesn't want that. You know, what we know is in Western civilization as the Dark Ages happened because the Word of God got shut up away from the people. And it's only in language, and it was written and spoken in languages that people couldn't understand. Amen. Why? Because the devil knows the Word of God is the answer to life. Amen. It is God's will to us. If you got your Bible, open up to John chapter 1. We're going to talk about the Word of God tonight. I thought Pastor Craig was going to preach my sermon this morning a little bit, talking about the Word. But you know what? I found this out, that God has a plan. You don't talk about things sometimes about, well, you can preach on. Well, in fact, it's amazing. You know, Pastor Hagin, very seldom ever, maybe in all the years, have been once or twice, said, hey, I need you to teach on this or that. But mostly, amen, just whatever the Lord leads you to say. And how many of you trust in God tonight? Here in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now here in this, of course, this is, you know, a verse that we've heard a lot around here. But God, the Word was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh. Now the Word here is God's will. God doesn't say anything unless it's his will that it happened. Or in other words, he'll say what's going to happen. Now, we've seen instances in the Old Testament especially where God would say something and then the people would change and then God could say something different about the situation. But God speaks what he expects to happen. And now notice this too in verse 14 there, that if it is the Word of God, it's going to be full of grace and full of truth. Full of grace and full of truth. You know, people, you know, today says, well, you know, just define your own truth. No, you can't define your own truth. God's Word is truth. So if you don't know what God's Word says about your situation, you don't know the truth about that situation. And it's always going to be full of grace. What's that point to? God has already done the work. He has initiated it. He has initiated our salvation, our deliverance, our healing. God has done the work through Jesus Christ. And the Word is going to point us to his grace, be full of grace. It's going to be full of truth. Amen. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. These are just our foundational verses here. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1 there also. It's not one of our verses tonight, but I always, seems like here recently, just I'm always reminded of Romans 3, verse 4, that says, let God be true, every man a liar. Let God be true. You know, I can think all kinds of things about my circumstances. I can hear all kinds of things. People will tell you their opinion about you and your circumstances. But God's the one that tells the truth. Amen. And think about this. He told the Apostle Paul through the Holy Ghost, told the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus to speak the truth in love. So when God speaks the truth to us through his word, how many of you know he's doing it because he loves us? He's loving us. He doesn't ask us to do something that he himself does not do. So if we're to speak the truth in love, God's word, which is truth, it comes through that same avenue of the love of God. Now look at Hebrews 4 verse 1. We don't have time to go back into chapter 3. He talked about how, you remember the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, right? Amen. Now I'm going to say something. I read this. Somebody said this the other day and I thought it was good. Christians don't wander in the wilderness. We go in to the promised land. So if you're having a wilderness experience, get out. Step in. Cross the Jordan. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, some people say, well, crossing the Jordan, that's going on to our heavenly reward. No. No. How many of you know when they crossed the Jordan, there were still enemies there? You're not going to have any enemies in heaven. Let's talk about our time here now. But he talked about why they didn't. And let's look at this because it'll help us. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear. That doesn't mean that we we're not afraid, but we have fear. The word there means to give honor to something. Don't become indifferent, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. See, when I know about the grace of God, I can enter into rest because I know God's already done the work. But he said it's possible to come short of that rest. But look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now notice this. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So anytime, you know, and I've had people tell me, you tell them what the word of God says about their situation, but they have, you know, but, you know, that gets in the way sometimes. Amen. But all you're telling me is if the word of God's not enough for you, all you're telling me is you don't have faith. In other words, you don't believe it. And beyond that, I don't know how to help you. So I'm here tonight to tell you the answer's in the word. All right? It has, the word of God is supernatural. It is spirit and it is life. You want to partake of the life of God? Get in the word of God. Amen. And he goes on. Now, so he says that there, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, you can hear the word of God. You can hear the word of God. I know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you can hear the word of God continually and never have faith in it if you choose not to believe it. Did they tell Thomas the truth that Jesus was risen? Did they see him? Yes, they told him the absolute truth. There was an absolute thing that had happened. He is alive. Thomas said, I will not believe unless. And Jesus came to him and said, look, Thomas, look at my hands, look at my feet. Put your finger, look at my side, put your hand inside my side. It's me. Don't be faithless, but believe. Right? And so we'll never enter in to the rest of God, to the promise of God, to the full grace of God without mixing faith with what we've heard from God's word. So, that's why you would never base your faith on my experience. Let God be true. Every man a liar. That includes, now I'm not trying to lie to you. But I'm telling you this, you believe it because you see it in the word of God. Not based on brother or sister so-and-so's experience. Well, you know, I know them. They believe that and they didn't get it. I don't care what they got. I'm not basing my faith on them. I'm basing it on what the word of God says. had a good friend gone home to be with the Lord now, but he said this. He said, if we do what the Bible says, we'll get what the Bible promises. And if you go back, I don't ever question God. I don't go to God and say, well, God, I just don't understand why you're not, because he said it already, right? He's the one that said it. It's not me to base it. Now, look at verse 12 there in Hebrews. For the word of God is quick, or it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. It's alive. This word is alive. Amen. Glory to God. I want to give you six things tonight, briefly here, that concerning the word of God. Number one, faith comes by the word, as we've already mentioned. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We're going to turn to a couple scriptures with each of these. Faith comes by the word. Now remember, you have to mix faith with the word in order to get the results. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not again, not hearing my experience. Now my testimony can help you. If God could do it for me, it could do it for you. But you don't base your faith on what God did for me. You base your faith on what he says in his word. Now faith, remember now, faith is not an event. We live by our faith. It is active belief. Active belief. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing. As Pastor Craig pointed out this morning, Brother Hagin, you say, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. He could repeat a word or a phrase more than anybody else I've ever heard. Even more than Doug Jones. Some of you students know about Doug's redundancy. That's a big word right there. I had to look it up. All right, James chapter 1. Faith comes by hearing, glory to God. But how many of you know faith is not just believing, faith is acting on what you believe. Faith is having Bible-based beliefs. In other words, what I believe is based on the word of God, the truth, and it's full of grace. Full of grace, full of God's power, full of God's anointing. James 1:21. I love this in the King James. I love this phrase. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, and this is my phrase, and superfluity of naughtiness. How many of you used that phrase in a conversation lately? No, you haven't. But I love that phrase. Amen. Lay apart all those things. Lay apart all that stuff. He said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, you can hear the word. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They heard God say, I've given you the land. Go in and possess it. But what happened? What happened? They didn't mix faith with it. And because they didn't act on what God said, they deceived themselves. They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. When all along, the promise belonged to them. Keep reading here. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. See, if I want to see who I really am, I've got to look in God's word. God's word's the mirror. It's the divine reflecting glass that shows me who I am in Christ. That shows me who God says I am. He says, but whoso looks into the perfect law. Perfect law. Perfect law. There's not a flaw in the word of God. See, when I look into the word of God and I see myself in God's word, there's no flaw there. Now, I know in and of my flesh, I've got flaws. Most of you got a lot more than me, but I got flaws. Try to get you back now. Come on. But you know what I'm saying? But you know, some people, bless their heart, they keep looking in that mirror and all they keep looking at are the flaws. The flaws, the flaws. But he said, into the perfect law of liberty. God wants to show you the perfection that he has made us to be in him, not in and of ourselves, not in Tad, in Christ. He says, and continue therein, not just look one, continue, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So faith comes by the word of God. We're there in James still. My second point is, we're born again by the word. We come into the family of God by the word of God. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with his word, with the word of truth, rather. He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will he begat. In other words, he birthed us into his family with the word of truth. Notice here again, the word is truth. What is our entrance into God's family? The word of God. Look what he said in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. God's word is just as alive today as the day he spoke it. Just as powerful today as the day he spoke it. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God is alive and powerful. It lives and abides forever. When Peter wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that by his stripes you were healed, that's the living word of God. And it's just as real today as it was the day he penned it. It's just as real today as the day that God spoke it through the prophet Isaiah concerning the Messiah, that he would come, that by his stripes you are healed. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. When we got born again, when we were birthed into the family of God, we were set apart by God. We were plucked out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We came out of Satan's dominion into the kingdom of God. We've been sanctified. I like to think of it this way. The word sanctified means to set apart, but set apart for divine purpose. First of all, to be the child of God. Here in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word. Or in other words, Lord, your word is truth. Sanctified, set apart, begotten of God, born again. Then look at Ephesians chapter 5. Born again, begotten of God, born into his family, sanctified, set apart by his family. Not only that, because of the word of God, not only does it get us born again, it cleanses us, hallelujah. But born again by the word of God. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Woo, glory to God. Just keep speaking the word. Just keep confessing the word. Just keep reading the word, saying what it says, acting on it. It's going to continually wash you. It's going to wash you. It's going to wash you. No sickness, no disease can stand the washing of the word of God. No poverty or lack, no mental torment, no mental disease, no mental oppression and depression can stay with you if you'll wash your mind with the word of God. That word, it's a washing, it's a cleansing. Verse 27, he says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. Washing. Well, that brings us to point number three. Our minds are renewed by the word. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Guys, I forgot to tell you one and two, so if you can pop up here in a second, get verse two ready. I'm sorry. They're so good up there, though. They can get it done. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, conformity, stuff is conformed by pressure. You ever had a squishy ball? You know what I'm talking about? Well, when you squeeze it, how many know the ball conforms to the pressure that's put on it? All right? But that's different. When you let it go, what's it happen? It fills back up. But when you're transformed by the Word of God, by the renewing of your mind, you don't go back the other way. You stay in the condition of whatever the Word of God says you are. It totally transforms you. How? By the washing of the water, by the Word. It washes away all of that wrong thinking. It washes away all of those wrong attitudes. It washes away all of the things that hinder you from being part of what God said you're a part of. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 4. Be renewed. Be renewed in your mind by letting the Word of God wash that mind. Change your thinking. Be transformed. Hallelujah. I thank God for these little ones who grew up in these things. They grew up being taught what the Word of God says about them and their situation. But you know, you could hear the Word all your life, but if you don't ever believe it and act on it and let it renew your mind. Now, how many of you know the Bible says we got to take thoughts captive? Because those thoughts, you're not going to stop thoughts from coming. But you can sure deal with them when they do come. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every rhema spoken by God. That's what the word there is. Every rhema spoken, that we live by it. It is our life. It is our nourishment. It is the renewal of our life. You think about it. You know, there are times of renewal that take place. There are times of refreshing that take place. Every time I read the Word of God, the potential is there. Potential is there to change me. Hallelujah. Point number 4. So number 1, faith comes by the Word. Number 2, we're born again by the Word. Number 3, our minds are renewed by the Word. Point number 4, we need to understand the indwelling Word of God. That Word has the ability to live on the inside of us. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ. Now stop right there for a moment. Notice it says, let the Word. So how many of you know the understood is you? Everybody say you. Means me. So he's talking to you and me here. We have to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, or in us richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But notice that. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. In you. Now, to let something implies I have to give it permission. I have to welcome it. Now, you may come to my house and say, I'm going to live with you. Not if I don't let you. Right? Well, how many of you know God's Word is available to everybody, but if you don't let it dwell in you? You know, and if you're going to dwell, to dwell in means to take up residence in. It also means to be welcome, to be invited, to feel at home. Now, you know, you could come live with me for a while, but if I don't make you feel welcome, how many know you're going to probably leave, find some place where you are welcome? Well, how many, is the Word of God welcome in your life? Don't be like the guy I heard tell a group of high school kids one time. Don't be, and I realize high school young men and women, some people get upset with the word kids. Those are goats, brother. Anyway, said, there are certain rooms in our house we don't let God in. Okay. First of all, why do you tell a teenager that? I have no idea. But let me ask you this. Is the Word of God welcome in the house of your life? Now see, every time I hear the word and I question it. I don't accept it. See, sometimes, you know, and I know this with me, I got to get out of my head. I can't figure it out. I don't understand. I don't have to understand it up here, but on the inside, there's an understanding that this is truth. I'm going to believe it whether or not I ever understand it up here. God's word is true. Amen. God's word, hallelujah, is truth. And so I have to let the word of Christ dwell in me. John chapter 15. Hallelujah. Now you realize we could take time on every one of these and just preach sermons after sermons after sermons on it. But we're not going to do that tonight. John 15 verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. I wonder how many prayers are going unanswered because we don't have the word abiding in us. Yeah. Is it dwelling in us? Is it feeling at home in us? Is it welcome in us? So the indwelling word. Number five, we're built up by the word of grace. Remember we said earlier that the word of God is full of grace and truth. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Here the Apostle Paul is saying some of his last words face to face with these leaders, the church at Ephesus. How many realize last words can be very important, especially in this here? Look what he says here in verse 32, Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice, the word of God is the only thing, the word of his grace is the only thing that has the potential to build us up and give us that inheritance. It's the word, it's through the word. Now I realize we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I understand. He's talking about something different here though. He's talking about being the word of God's ability. Potential is a great thing, or it is also can be a great weight anchor around your neck. You know, you hear this in athletics. Well, they have great potential. I mean, Thursday through Saturday, they had the NFL draft, you know. And I watched a little bit because I just wanted to see where some of the players went. And, you know, after about 5, 6, 7 picks, I'm done. But, after, you know, just kind of seeing how that. But, you know, every person that got drafted has potential. We don't know yet what the result will be. But we know what the result of embracing the word of God is, it will build you up. It will give you an inheritance among all the saints. What's that? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's able to do it. So the dependence there is not whether the word can do it, it's will we cooperate with it. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What did he call it there in Acts? The word of his grace. The word of grace. What did he say in John chapter 1 verse 14? Full of grace and truth. The word became flesh. See, Jesus wasn't full of grace and truth because because he's the word made flesh. God's word, and God is full of grace and truth. So God's word has always been full of grace and truth. Jesus just revealed it to us in a greater dynamic and a greater dimension, I mean, than anyone had ever revealed it. He came. He was the exact imprint of the Father. He's the outreign of the divine. To see Jesus was to see the Father. To see Jesus is to see grace in action. To hear Jesus is to hear truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God is able, here again, that's potential there, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. His grace, the word of his grace, is able to build us up. We are built up by the word of grace. Don't leave potential undeveloped. Don't leave the potential of your inheritance on this page. Put it in your mouth. Act on it. Just don't let it be a promise. Let it be a reality. And as Pastor Craig talked this morning, it's not going to happen someday. It's now. It's now. Faith is right now. Our last point is this: we are healed by the word. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, sometimes that we have given priority to other things in our life other than the word of God, and we've all done it. But I want to encourage every one of us tonight. Let's let God's word be first place. Let's give it priority. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words." That'd be all of us here. Attend to my words. What does that mean? Put them first place. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not, see, there again, that's, notice it's, I have to attend to his words. You have to attend, you and I have to incline our ear to his sayings. We have to let them not depart from our eyes. We have to keep them in the midst of our heart. For they, the word of God, are a life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How many know, just naturally speaking, you need to have a strong heart physically? You got to have a strong heart. Amen. You need to have that strong heart. Well, we are spirit beings, and we need to have that strong heart, of spiritual heart, if you will, strong on the inside, because out of it flow all the issues of life. Health to all their flesh. I got a little note in my Bible. It says the Hebrew for the word health there means medicine. Medicine. How many of you have ever gotten a prescription from the doctor? Have you ever read it? Helps to do that, by the way. Because it says, it tells you how to take the medicine, how long to take the medicine. You know, how many of you realize this? If you just opened the bottle up and took the whole thing, you've messed up. It's not a one-time application sometimes. It might be, you know, take this for the next 5 days, every how long, you know what I'm saying. Well, are we taking the medicine of God's word? And this is something we need to take daily. Daily. Last scripture, Psalm 107. So faith comes by the word. We're born again by the word. Our minds are renewed by the word. We have the indwelling word of God. We're built up by the word of grace, and we're healed by the word. Here in Psalm 107, in talking about people who are in distress, people who are in trouble, they cry out to the Lord. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How is God? And so sometimes we wonder now, well, you know, how's God? I'm going to tell you this. God's going to do it through his word. He sent his word, and it became flesh and dwelt among us and delivered us from all of our destructions. He delivered us from sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, eternal death. He delivered us. The chastisement of our peace, for us to have peace of mind, was upon him. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives I unto you, but he said, my peace I give unto you. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you say, well, how's God, what's God going to do? I'm going to tell you right now, God is going to tell you what his word says. Now, every time the Spirit of God leads you something, it's always going to agree with the Word of God. The Spirit of God's not going to tell you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, because why? The Spirit and the Word agree. Because why? He's God. God the Holy Ghost. I love to say it in Swahili. Roho, Roho Mtakatifu. It's not going to disagree with Mungu Baba, God the Father, or Mungu Moana, God the Son, Mungu Roho Mtakatifu, God the Holy Ghost. The three in one, in agreement. Faith comes by the Word. We're born again by the Word. Our minds are renewed by the Word. We have the indwelling of the Word of God. We're built up by the Word of grace, and we're healed by the Word. So you want to find out concerning your life, you're going to have to go to the Word of God. Amen. That's why, you know, it's so interesting. And, you know, as pastoral staff, we're very happy to meet and talk with anybody and give. Now, we're not counselors, but we can give spiritual advice, you know, and most of the time it's, here's what the Word says about this. But it is amazing. I've noticed this in my life. You know, I know, especially, it was interesting when we moved here in February of 2000, and we started, you know, attending school, the Bible, and in church, and all that. And just, you know, it's amazing when you're not, I was sitting right back over here one day, and I was watching, something was going on, and I was watching the ushers, and I'd been in two churches, been in charge of ushers, and all that kind of stuff. I'm sitting back there wondering why they're doing this, and if they ought to be, and then all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say on the inside of me, let me ask you a question. Now, when God says that to you on the inside, you know you're done. You've cooked your goose there. Time to take the goose out of the oven. You better quit thinking. But he said to me, he said, do you have a key on your key ring that opens any door in this ministry? I said, no. He goes, then it's not your responsibility, is it? You just be a church member. I felt a weight lift off me. But it was amazing. In School of the Bible, Pastor Bill over here. In church, Pastor Hagen and whoever the associate pastors at that time. It seemed like every sermon was directed at us. But it wasn't. But it is. So I want to encourage you tonight. If you're sitting here tonight, you say, well, I know about the Word of God. No, this was for you tonight. This is for all of us tonight. The Word of God is the foundation of our life. It's full of grace and truth. It is alive and powerful. Amen? And we will enter in to the rest of God's promise when we mix it with faith and just choose to believe it, speak it, and act on it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Bill mentioned we're going to receive that offering for Mrs. Hagen at this time. We're going to do that right now for her birthday. So if our ushers would prepare themselves for that. If you want to text to give 28950, put Hagen in the account and then put the space there and the amount that you want to give. If you want to give by check, make it out to Rhema Bible Church. Fill out the envelope, put birthday offering in the other column there, or if you want a record for your cash giving, then make sure you fill out the envelope for that also. All right, thank you ahead of time for your generosity. Amen. But you know, I don't care how much we give, we're still in debt. we can't outgive what's been given. First of all, we know this: Jesus gave gifts unto us, and Mrs. Hagen surely one of those gifts. Right? And then what all that she does for us and her and Pastor Hagen and the entire family, we just thank God for all of that. All right? Hold your offering up there. Let's pray and believe God. Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father God, for Miss Hagen and for her life. Father, help us to be a blessing to her. Bless each gift, each giver tonight. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to let our prayer team go ahead and come at this time, if you would. Come on down. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, somebody's throwing buckets around over there. If you need prayer for anything, ladies, come to the ladies, men to the men. They'll pray with you. Hey, just amazingly enough, they're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Why? Well, that's where answers come from, right? That's where results happen, is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the manifestations of the Spirit. You know, thank God for those things. But you know, you can always act on the Word. You can always act on the Word, and the Word will produce the results. Well, I acted on the Word, and it didn't happen. So you're basing your faith on your experience then, okay. Amen. The Bible says we should know whether or not in the faith. If I'm still questioning, if I'm still waiting for it to happen, I'm not in faith. I'm in hope. Hope's powerful. Hope's powerful. Don't make fun of hope. It's an abiding thing too. Faith, hope, and love, right? But faith says I have it now. I'm not hoping for it. I have it now. I don't know why I'm preaching while they're doing that. But you know, one thing you hear people, you know, they say, you know, even like this, you go to bed, you're not feeling better. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I'll feel better. What does that have to do with whether or not you're healed? You're not in faith, you're hoping. I'm healed right now. I don't care how I feel. I'm healed right now. I'm healed. Amen. And just close your eyes and go to sleep. Sometimes I take a nap of faith. When it seems like everything's going on, just the whole world's crashing in around you, just take a nap. The devil hates it when you sleep, when he's trying to destroy your world. Why are you sleeping? Because the Bible says God never sleeps or slumbers, so I might as well, he's working, I might as well go to sleep. With groanings that cannot be uttered. You know. All right, our ushers are there. Let's all stand up, glory to God. That last part, that was all free. That's not, I'm going to turn. Amen. All right. If you need prayer, come on down here. God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night. Hey, don't forget also on Saturday, we have the memorial service for Brother Bill Johnson at 2:00 here in the chapel. Also, if you're interested in being part and you want to come out and play golf with several of us, we're going to be on Saturday at 1:00 out at the Canyons at Blackjack Ridge. You can get more information about that, the golf outing, out in the North Lobby. God bless you. Have a great week.